All right, two guys talking talking baseball on this Saturday before the Giants and Padres get Game 3 of this series. Carlos Rodon on the hill and Yu Darvish. This should be an interesting one. Bruce Jenkins, good afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Marty. Yep, should be a real interesting matchup today for sure.
Yeah, this is one, you know, let's talk about last night first and a little bit about the ball club. Bruce, I've been watching it, you've been watching it, and someone corrected me on this June swoon. It's a June swoon and die in July. I guess that was Joe Altobello used to say that in the late 70s. But, you know, we've watched this ball club over the last month or so, and just get your impressions of it as we sit here today.
Well, my impression is they're 12 and a half out.
Yeah,
and you tell me how they catch the Dodgers or the Padres for that matter. I mean, Carlos Rodon, he didn't hold back the other day. I mean, it was a few days ago. I think they were in Arizona. He said, "I think we're playing really bad baseball, and until we physically do something and make a change, I don't think we're going to see any results." And that's how the fans feel. I think if you're taking a hard look at it, you know, there's so much that you wish was happening. You wish Crawford and Belt were 100%. You know, you wish the bullpen was a little more reliable instead of now when Doval and McGee go out there and Rogers, you really have no idea what's going to happen. It could be a catastrophe. It could be great. And there's just, you know, if you don't field or hit, it's very hard to, A, get it back in the race, but B, you know, have people interested in playing for you next year, because you know the Giants have a lot of good prospects, and it's baseball. They could get better. Who knows what could happen? But to take a hard look at them now, you don't have a lot of faith in their ability to come back or to attract you know, free agents down the road.
So what do you do when it comes up here? And again, we have another 3 weeks. We talked about this last week, that the toughest time of year is that week before the All-Star break and the 2 weeks after, and then the trade deadline happens. What do you do if you're the Giants? What do you do if you're Farhan? What do you do in this market? Can you trade a Rodon? Can you trade a Jock Peterson, Dominic Leone? Can you Brebbia? Do you do that and throw the white flag up?
Well, trading De Leon and Brebbia would hardly be the end of the world if you get something that's going to help you. You know, those guys are good, but relief pitchers come and go. They could be nothing next year. Maybe they're starting a really good role, but that's not a big concern. Rodon is really the interesting one to me. I mean, if you can get him in a trade and then hook him up for, you know, multi-year deal, that's a hell of a find for some team out there. Mm-hmm. And it'd be crushing for the Giants, because the guys, he really has lights out stuff. He throws a few too many pitches in some of his starts, but he's very hard to hit. He's one of the best. He really is one of the best. He's all-star caliber. But you also, just hearing he's not going to be back. He sees what this club is. This is not where he wants to be. So if they do trade him, it'd be very, very tough to swallow. But then again, I wouldn't trade him unless we get a hell of a package back. And I would demand a lot for him, because he's really that good.
It's a tough one. No, it's a tough one because, you know, as someone pointed out, he's got that option that kicks in at 110 innings. Now, he's, where is he? He's 90-something right now. Let's see. He's 91 right now, so he's got 19 more innings. Then it's up to him whether he wants to come back. So that may play into it for the Giants, if, as most people think, as you do, that he would go somewhere else. So do you hold on to him?
Well, you hold on to him for what? I mean, for the stretch drive? What kind of a stretch drive?
Yeah, if you're still in the wild card hunt, I guess.
Let me just really quick check the wild card standings. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fall out of the wild card standings. You know, I mean, they're looking really at trying to get into that last spot, but they're three back of the Phillies. I'm looking at it right now. They're right in it. They're right in the wild card. So, you know, you say, well, they get in, and who knows? Logan and Webb threw a couple of gems, and you're up 2-0 or whatever. So, yep. I just think in terms of next year, there's no way Rodon's going to be here. I don't think, no matter how the season plays out. But if you can't get something really good in return for him, mm-hmm. Yeah, you hold on to them and hope that you get the wild card. Because, again, if they could somehow sneak in there, and you got a lot of teams, you know, the Phillies, the Cardinals, Miami, these teams aren't playing that great. You know, they're up and down, just like the Giants. So if you could somehow get in and you've got those two guys on the mound, you know, you can advance.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I'm with you 100%. Unless you get overwhelmed with prospects or a major leaguer, and that may come because he is that good and he can make that much of a difference. But I agree with you. They're only three out of the wild card, and it's all because of this losing streak. As you know how baseball goes, I've said this before, you win 7 of 10, you win 9 of 12, and all of a sudden you forget about all this. You know, and you're back in it. So there's still plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Yeah, and I think I've got to think they've kind of bottomed out here. I mean, you know, we know that they have a system that has worked and can work again. And you got to have a little bit of faith in you know what they've shown last year that and how Farhan and Gabe go about operating things. You can't just say, well, this so much for this season. These guys are horrible. I mean, you don't say that. You have some faith in a team that's playing 500. You know, it doesn't look really good, but for sure, the idea of finishing as one of the top teams in the league, that's not going to happen, but the wild card is still definitely on the table.
Yep, I agree. All right. Logan Webb the other night in Musgrove, that was a good one, huh?
Oh, great. I mean, Musgrove, I tell you, that curveball is just, it's so devastating. The guys just aren't seeing it. Then he comes upstairs with the fastball, and he's really smart. He's the definition of an ace pitcher. That was really good. But you know, Logan Webb he's just getting better, Marty. He's an amazing kid. I hate saying he's not really a kid anymore, but he's definitely a man among men in terms of starting pitchers in the National League. You could throw him out there to start the All-Star game, and the American Leaguers go, "Who the hell is this guy?" You know. That's how good a stuff he has, and that it's great, you know. And he's really keeping his head up. You know, his quotes have been far more encouraging than Rodon's. You know, he's saying, "Listen, we've got a good club here, and we believe, and we battle in every game, which they do." And he's just a gem. That's a matchup of two guys any team would want to have.
Yeah, he's an all-star for me. People say, "Well, maybe he'll be an all-star." I think he absolutely will be, and so will Rodon. I think,
yeah, why not?
Peterson, of course, yeah. I mean, they're as good as anybody in the league. Well, I'll say one thing. You know, we've been all over Machado since the first week and the kind of season he's having, and he kills the Giants. But Sam Long threw him a changeup, and I swear to you, I thought I could see his eyes light up. Machado's eyes light up on the TV and have him jump. He, like, lunged. He couldn't wait to get to the ball, and he hit it, like, 450 feet or something.
Yeah, it was everything you do not to swing first and then swing again.
Really? I mean, he knew that one was coming.
Yeah, you did. You knew it was coming. With that guy, I always expect a home run to deep left center, you know, and then he'll triple down the right field line and make an incredible play behind the bag. And a great player, you know, the kind of star power the Giants don't have. And Jock Peterson is definitely a star, and it's not easy to make the All-Star team if you don't play every day. And totally love Jock Peterson, but in, you know, in terms of star power, Machado is really he's way up there with the greats of the game.
Well, what did you think of the uniforms?
Oh my God, they showed up as a fruit basket. Good. I thought like a little kid's birthday party had broken out, and they're serving snow cones with multi flavors. Yeah, give me a watermelon, give me a banana, you know, give me a lime. And then, you know, Grisham shows up with his dirt all over his pants. There's a chocolate cake, too. It's just, good God, horrible.
Right, it's another baseball promotion. All right. Hey, but the collision was something else, wasn't it, on Profar and C.J. Abrams? And, you know, Bruce, we've watched so much ball, you could see it coming. You could just see it coming, and you hope it's not going to happen. Remember Longoria and Crawford last year? This one was a brutal one when they slowed it down to see that he got hit in the jaw like that.
Just a full speed, full contact shot to the face. God, it was just so hard to watch, and to see him get up and then kind of get back to his knees and then get up and then just collapse. I mean, at that point, you're thinking, what is going on here? And I guess it's just a concussion and a some kind of neck injury. It's something that he can overcome. But I'm always amazed when these plays happen how committed big league players are to making a play that they can make. And, you know, you can't always know where the other guy is, and they're just going for it. And it's not like they're backing off, very often. And these things happen. It was so brutal. I mean, he's a great kid. At one point, he was the number one prospect in the minor leagues, and it took him a while, but he's been great for the Padres, and I hope he can get back this season and be the player that he's been.
All right, so I'm curious how Bam Bam Mullins always talked about him, and when he was with Texas, I said, get him, get this guy, because Bam Bam had him in the WBC, and of course he went to the A's and bounced around, and now he's kind of made a career for himself. I hope he's okay. I really do. That was a tough one to watch, that one. A couple of things. Well, mentioned the WBC. Bruce, the WBC is back next year. How about that? Did you see that? The semifinals and finals will be in Miami.
No, perfect. I love that event. I mean, not even really the U.S., whatever, but to watch the Dominican teams in Puerto Rico and, Cuba's made a big push to get their real players, all the guys who at the top level of the Cuban baseball. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. There's too much red tape to cut through. But, Cuba has been very adamant about not letting the guys who defected, left on boats and all those things into the game. But if we could actually get the real Cuban team, it would be unbelievable. But Miami, obviously, perfect setting for this game. And, again, the U.S. team is irrelevant to me, but I would never miss a game of the Dominicans, Puerto Rican, Netherlands with Curaçao. Cuba, this is where it's at. And now you have kids like Julio Rodriguez and Pena, the Houston shortstop. The young talent never stops coming in. And I just hope that we get a maximum amount of guys in that game.
Yeah, it's good. So that's next year. And I saw it. Have you ever seen one live? I saw them in Chase Field. And there will be games here in Arizona, Chase Field. I think Mexico, I forget who they were playing. I'll tell you, Bruce, it was an outstanding baseball game. There was that you were watching something on the line. That's how I felt about it.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, I saw a game at the Giants Park with Puerto Rico. I think they might have been playing the Dominican. Boy, you talk about something on the line. That means an awful lot to these guys. And you can tell with the U.S. team, you're pretty sure it's not the maximum team you could throw out there. There's all these issues about, well, we don't want this guy to get hurt. We don't want this guy to pitch. But in some of these other countries, none of that matters. We're going to win this. This is what we want to win.
I love it. Yeah, I'm glad it's back. 2023, it'll be back. Keith Hernandez has a big day today. Of course, a Bay Area product from San Mateo County. And number 17 is going to be retired by the New York Mets. And there's a lot of arguments about him being a Hall of Famer. Mark Simon, who will come on later, did a nice piece on that as well. But Keith Hernandez, Bruce, number 17 being retired, I think it's well-deserved for him.
Oh, geez. I voted for him so fast every time I saw his name on the ballot. I wanted to write it in like six more times. As I watched this guy play, I watched him orchestrate games and hear the Mets teammates about how this guy, approached the game, thought about the game, anticipated stuff that was going to happen, all from the first base position. Tremendous hitter, multiple Gold Glove Award winner, everything it takes to be a Hall of Famer. And it's great for me because Keith's older brother Gary went to Cal, as did I, and I was covering the Cal Bears for the Daily Cal, and Gary Hernandez is the first baseman, and you talk about a carbon copy of Keith's hitting style, left-hand hitter, first baseman, spraying the ball over the field, just destroyed Pac-8 pitching, all conference hitter, just like, God, this guy's a great hitter, a great guy, and the dad was there. Keith and Gary's dad was a ball player in his own right. He was always at the park, but you never really, really knew it. He wasn't like yelling at the ump or, God damn it, Keith, or Gary, what are you doing, Real class act, and the kids are that way, too. I know Gary is back in New York. He might be throwing out the first pitch today, but Keith had some amazing comments to one of the New York writers about how Gary was a mentor to him, to the point, Marty, where during that great playoff series against Houston, Mets Houston, was it 86 or whatever?
86. Uh-huh.
The game's in progress, and he gets a call from Gary, and he takes it. And Gary's telling him about Bob Knepper. He goes, listen, you know, he's not browbeating him. He just drops a little bit of a hint, and Keith takes the call.
Wow.
And he goes out and gets the big double there. I mean, come on.
Wow.
This is a great family, man.
I love it. Great story. I think he's a Hall of Famer in my book.
Yeah.
May not have the big glorified numbers, but when you look at the analytics that they use today, Bruce, the WAR and blah 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 and all that stuff, he's right up there in all those numbers.
Yeah, and if you talk to the guys who played with and against him, I can't imagine anybody would say, well, maybe marginal. No, I think they would say that guy's Hall of Fame all the way.
Oh, I like it. Keith Hernandez, number 17, being retired by the Mets today. DeGrom had his second start. The rehab starts are interesting. DeGrom had a second one, three clean innings for him, so we'll see him soon.
Yeah, geez, I tell you, the Mets are opening up that race, aren't they? It's almost 10 games over the Braves, I think, now.
No, and the Braves came back. Braves are only 2.5 out.
Now, wait a minute, what am I looking at here? I'm sorry, yeah, I was looking at the wrong division.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember I was telling you last week, I thought if DeGrom and Scherzer don't come back, I think the Braves mm-hmm. can catch him. But Scherzer was great, just out. He felt unqualified success on his start. And now DeGrom is feeling about the same. So I don't know how you catch a team with those two guys suddenly coming in like a midseason trade.
No, they got great pitching. And they're getting career years out of Alonso and Lindor as well. And that's it's sort of what makes me think of the Giants. That's not what's happening with the Giants right now. And last year it did, and it's happening with the Mets. Scherzer's not going to pitch against Miami. They're saving him for Atlanta on Monday. I think it's Scherzer and Fried, if I'm not mistaken, on Monday. How about that?
That'll be very telling, very telling. I hope they're both at their best, and they're both out there in the eighth. We wouldn't be so bold as to say they might finish the game, but
forget about that.
But.
Yeah, eight is almost finishing. Baseball did it right with the all-star rosters. At least they're adding two veterans, one to National League, one to the American League, and they're going to be able to do that, and you know, not have anyone voted in or knock somebody off the team. So there's no argument. But Cabrera, who's having a decent year, is going to be honoree for the American League, and of course Pujols for the National League. And what's your take on that?
Well, I loved it. I was thinking about how great that would be. I think Kenny Rosenthal wrote about it as a good idea. But, yeah, I think Cabrera's in around 300. Every time you see the highlights, he's spanking a hit to the opposite field or yanking one down the line. It's a pure genius hitter, that guy. And, of course, you know, Pujols, his career speaks for himself. He almost hit one out last night in a big spot for the Cardinals against the Phillies. They did pinch hit for him earlier in the week, which I thought was odd. There was a right-hand pitcher came in, and they tossed in a lefty pinch hitter up there. It didn't work out. But, I mean, obviously Pujols isn't what he was. But I guarantee you if he steps up to the plate in the All-Star game, it's going to be a great moment, and he could jack one out of there.
I saw one great moment. I don't know if you were there, but up in Seattle with Cal Ripken in the last game, last All-Star game. I guess he was voted into third base, and I think it was A-Rod. Was a shortstop, and he pushed him to short. He said, Ripken, you play short. And then Ripken hit a home run off at Chan Ho Park. I mean, we've talked about all-star moments, and we will today as well. That was a moment.
Yeah. And Ripken was a man for the moment. And you can say exactly that about Cabrera and Pujols. You know, I mean, the stats are just completely off the charts, but just so many times when they step up there and they're counting on this guy and boy they both really came through. So yeah, always make room for the legends. It's just a great idea, even if they didn't appear in the game, which I hope that they do. But just to be there and to be honored that way is very, very nice.
Yeah, they'll get him in. I'll guarantee you they'll get bats. Now I'm glad that Kapler's not managing because he would have to wait for a platoon to get Pujols in. just let him hit. I don't care who he hits against. He can hit him. So,
No doubt.
A couple of passing away. Sonny Corleone, James Caan. And, of course, you know that scene at the toll booth. There's a baseball game in the background. And, you know, I I think maybe the greatest acting job ever is James Caan as Sonny Corleone. Just perfect.
It's fresh in the mind, isn't it? I mean, God, what a perfect bit of casting that was. Really one of the great tough guys. And you know, he was a really good actor. He could do anything. But as a tough guy like that, and that kind of setting with the underworld and in that film, it's just perfect. That's a tough loss. But the great shots of him with the white shirt and the suspenders and ready to go off, you know.
And I love the fact there's a baseball game going on and the radio at the toll booth when it's all over for him. So that was a good part.
And you hope it's accurate. Just really quick, there's a really good TV show on called The Bear right now, and it's about cooks in Chicago, and there's a game on, and they start talking about people they like, and this one guy starts talking about the great Minnie Minosa. Oh, no, you're in Chicago. Anyway.
I know that, you know, it's funny, Alan Beyer, who I love, and was a former investor with the Giants, he's passed away. But in the movie 42, he was someone like you in the sense he watched everything carefully. And they said Gene Hermansky, they had him batting right-handed. He was a left-handed hitter.
Jeez, you know? That's terrible. That is so bad.
I know. They needed us to be advisors on the film. The other one is Mike Brito, and a lot of people won't know the name, but you'd know his face. He had that the hat that he wore, Panama hat type thing, and the radar gun. He was always on TV at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, well, I loved it. What I loved about him, he was such a professional. He showed up, you know, immaculately dressed every single time. It was Mike Brito every single day. There's no question about it. There's Mike Brito. And, you know, he pretty much discovered Fernando, and he scouted Puig and many, many players that he helped get to the big leagues. A real institution. I mean, it's very difficult for a scout to be known in that manner and yet not be any kind of a showman or a chest beater. I mean, he didn't really, you know, he wasn't seeking any kind of publicity at all. He was just there with the radar gun and the Panama hat, and he's going to be in Latin America, and he's an invaluable member of the organization. But you miss him when he's gone. You know, he's like Vince Scully or the peanut guy. Peanut guy is still there.
Oh, I
Did
saw
you read
that
about
story.
The peanut guy, by the way? There's a guy who's been tossing peanuts in L.A. I caught peanuts from that guy in the early 60s. All of a sudden, they don't let him toss the peanuts because he could hurt somebody.
Now, is that's the reason why? They think he's going to hit someone with a bag of peanuts?
This guy had better control than Greg Maddux.
Well, I'll tell you.
He could hit you from 30 feet away, and he'd do it behind his back. And he'll let you know, here it comes, boom, right in your chest.
All right, I'll
now,
say something.
He's a safety hazard.
I'll say something political. You mean you could buy an AR-15, but you can't throw a bag of peanuts. Okay.
Well, right. that says it all, Marty.
All right, I said it. I said it. All right.
Yeah.
Rich Lieberman had a nice column about you and me today in his Media 415 blog, and I mentioned it, and I appreciate us being mentioned, and I thought he was very kind to us.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. I did see he had a nice tweet out, which was very kind of him. Rich has been around a long time. I appreciate those words. I'm sure you do, too.
Yeah, he called you a little grouchy from time to time, so I thought he nailed you pretty good.
Oh, I'm very cranky. Right now, actually.
It was a very nice – no, it was a good blog that he did, so you look it up. One of our great – we've been doing this for years. One of our great records of baseball is the amount of doubles in a season. And we always say Earl Webb, you know, 67 doubles.
67.
1934 Boston Red Sox. You know, Matt Olson, Bruce, has got a shot at 60. I think he's about 30 already, and we just got the halfway point.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. It's you can see it happening because he's got a beautiful off-field swing. Sometimes it really looks like he's going that way. He's got huge hits down the line and up the alley and left center. And, you know that he's going to go deep, you know, dead pull. He's a lot like Freddie Freeman, the guy he replaced as a hitter, which is really kind of miraculous for the Braves to lose a guy of Freeman's caliber. Then you bring in this guy who's younger, and he's a lot like Freeman as a hitter. And that would be great. Yeah, the doubles record. It would be cool if everybody suddenly focused on that. Of course, if there's if there's too much pressure for him to hit a double, that's not good. But I hope Todd, he does it silently. You know?
Yeah, Todd Helton got 59. I think that was the closest we've had recently to Earl Webb. So this is one you and I have talked about for 20 years, the doubles record. So
yeah, I know.
See what Wilson can do, Olson can do. Historical note today, and this one is a great one. And, of course, we're, you know, July 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. This is All-Star Game time here, you know, in baseball. 1968 All-Star Game, Bruce. The National League wins 1-0. And I just start to look at the pitching staff that for the National League, and, of course, this is 68, the year of the pitcher, 1-0. It was just a perfect game, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, they had the staff. They had Drysdale, Steve Carlton, Bob Gibson. They had Marischal. They had Seaver. And you didn't see Gibson or Marischal because they just pitched, I think it was like the day before at Candlestick. Of course, they both went 9. But still, you know, Drysdale, Carton, and Gibson in the American League. Talk about stuff. How about a variety of stuff? You got Teont dancing around out there. McDowell with a pure heat. Tommy John throwing that junk up there. Denny McClain won 31 games. And then Blue Moon Odom. I mean, no wonder it was 1-0.
I love it. And who scores the only run? Willie.
Oh, of course it. Yeah, of course it was Mays. Led off the first inning with a single, and he scored on a double play grounder by McCovey. I mean, the pitching really dominated that game. Kuzman was another guy. He struck out Yaz to end it, the big Yaz. Yaz is granddad. But, you know, it's in the Astrodome, and which was horrible, really. But the Astrodome was still kind of new then. It was the first indoor All-Star game, and there was something of a novelty to it. But the game wasn't terribly exciting. But for pitching, which is what that season was all about, that was a clinic.
No, and I looked at this, what got me. I looked at the list of National League pitchers. Drysdale starts, then I guess Marischal for a short amount of time, then Carlton, then Seaver, then Ron Reed, and then to finish it off, it was Kuzman. There you go. I mean, again, Teont on the other side. How about, I don't know. It just, to me, that. I can't remember seeing a Hall of Fame staff like that in one game.
Right. It's pretty remarkable. And, you know, one thing about All-Star games, going back a little before that, but even at that point, too, was it was very common to see three guys pitch three innings each. It was very common, in fact. It was more often than not. Both teams used six pitchers total going three innings, which is kind of cool in its own right. Maybe the guy will even hit for himself. You know, and get a little more familiar with them instead of in and out. But yeah, I mean, then again, if you can throw all these guys that we just talked about, there's a hell of a lot to be said for that too.
Yeah. If you started, you were going three. That was the honor of starting the All-Star game. And we'll talk tomorrow or the next week about who should start here. And one guy I want to talk about tomorrow is Verlander. Doing some amazing things. So much going on. A lot going on in baseball. A lot of good stories. And today we'll finish it off with this one. We've talked about Rodon quite a bit and what he means to the Giants. And he may be short-lived, and we'll see what it turns out in the season. But on the other side, it's Darvish, who the Giants, Bruce, have just clobbered. About every time they've seen him, they've just clobbered him. And as Mark Sweeney said, I guess he's throwing more fastballs. But that's the matchup today, Rodon and Darvish.
Yeah, Darvish has also always been a little bit of a puzzle. You know, he's had some really disastrous starts. I mean, been out in public, you know, in postseason. And he's also had some where he just simply cannot be hit. He's just unhittable. He's got like five pitches. I think one night they couldn't use the pitch comm because there weren't enough buttons.
Right.
You know, he's a genius to his element of pitching, and he's very very enjoyable to watch. Sometimes he'll get in the wrong pattern with those pitchers and maybe trust the wrong pitch too often to where guys are sitting on it, which shouldn't be the case with a guy with that much stuff. But you know, when he is in rhythm, he's extremely hard to hit. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw him last week, 6'5". I didn't realize he was that tall.
Big guy.
This is an interesting baseball game today, and the Giants need one, of course. We've been saying that for 3 weeks.
It's a big one, Marty.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, have a good afternoon. We'll talk tomorrow morning. Thanks, Bruce.
Great, talk to you then.
Okay, that is Bruce Jenkins. Two guys talking ball. And I always love to talk with Bruce on the weekend. All right, coming up next from ESPN, David Schoenfield. Does great work, good columns, and had some very interesting articles this week about players who would be traded or obtained by just about every team in baseball with this trade deadline coming up. You'll be interested to see what he says about the Giants. All right, more coming up right after this.